Today, Amnesty International and Human Rights Watch held a joint news conference to discuss U.S. drone strikes in Afghanistan, Pakistan, and the Middle East.
Each organization released a report. Amnesty International looked at drone strikes in Pakistan, and Human Rights Watch focused on airstrikes in Yemen. They're calling on Congress to investigate the strikes in their reports and disclose evidence of human rights violations to the public.
What do you think of U.S. drone strikes? We want to hear from you. Do you think they're good for national security? Are you worried about the human rights impact and the human toll it takes? Call 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234, or email us, talk@WPR.org. With us, we have Letta Taylor, Senior Terrorism and Counterterrorism Researcher at Human Rights Watch. Letta, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
And also Rachel O'Leary, Deputy Director of Membership at Amnesty International. Rachel, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Let's start with you. The Human Rights Watch report examined six U.S. drone strikes in Yemen. How did you choose which strikes to focus on, and how did you investigate?
Yes. Well, first, actually, many of the strikes we investigated were drone strikes, but at least two of them were other U.S. strikes, one involving cruise missiles and cluster munitions, and another probably involving warplanes, but that was drone-assisted. We chose the six strikes because, well, first, they were six that jumped out on us from the initial information we had as clear or potential violations of the laws of war, and secondly, because they looked at a variety of policy and legal issues involved in the targeted killings program that we felt needed to be explored, including the issue of whether the U.S. is killing people it could be capturing, whether it is indiscriminately attacking civilians, and whether it's using an overly broad interpretation of who exactly is a militant eligible for combating, for targeting.
Let's get into the questions of civilians. Is the United States indiscriminately targeting civilians?
In some cases, the U.S. has indiscriminately killed civilians. We do not believe the United States is indiscriminately targeting them, but in two of the six cases we examined in Yemen, there were clear cases of indiscriminate attacks. One case killed 14 alleged Al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula members. So that's the Yemen-based branch of Al-Qaeda. But it also killed 41 sleeping Bedouins, many of them women and children, for example. But we don't believe the U.S. targeted those sleeping Bedouins. However, under international law, even if it was a horrible accident, if the U.S. Did indiscriminately strike civilians, it did not take the precautions it should have, and that is a violation of the laws of war for which the U.S. Should take responsibility.
We'll get more into the stories you heard in Yemen, but I want to turn to Pakistan now. Rachel, why did Amnesty International focus on the drone strikes there?
Well, we looked at a bunch of different drone strikes. I think there was 45 sort of reported drone strikes that we looked into. But we looked because we heard reports and wanted to research the reports that there were extrajudicial killings, that there were killings happening, that civilians were being struck. And so we wanted to research more for a lot of the same reasons that Human Rights Watch wanted to.
And what were some of your findings there in Pakistan?
Largely the same story, and what we're seeing is a consistent pattern of behavior where we're not sure. There's so much. The thing that always strikes me is that there's so much that we don't know. We don't know how folks get on the kill lists and the people who are targeted, and then we really also don't know how the folks that are targeted and killed, how that sort of came to be. So what we found out is that there's just so much that we don't know. And the sort of the results of our report are sort of case studies about different civilians that were killed in drone strikes. And specifically what, you know, our sort of focus is and our appeal is that we are really urging President Obama to explain why these civilians were killed and how Congress can work to investigate these killings, because they're just so – we also don't believe that they were targeted, but we don't know you know, sort of, we, there's just so much that we don't know. It's so much easier to talk about what we don't know versus what we do know around drone strikes and how and when they're executed, you know, in Pakistan.
Tell us one of the stories you found about civilians dying in one of these attacks in Pakistan.
Sure. So one of the cases that we know is of a grandmother who is out in her field picking okra, along with her, I believe it was her 8-year-old grandchild. And in front of her grandchild's eyes, she was struck and killed by a drone. And that was, you know, devastating, obviously, for the child. It was, you know, very, it was a very graphic description of, you know, sort of the drone strikes. And I think, you know, when we're here, we hear drone strikes in the context of national security and in the context of saving American lives. But what really strikes me about the narrative of, you know, sort of the strikes that we found in our report is that, it doesn't, it's not clear that it makes us any safer. And it's very clear that we, you know, that the, amount of civilians and the amount of innocent sort of lives that are taken, you know, as a result of these strikes are alarming enough that we just need to know who they are, what's happening, and then, you know, perhaps down the road even begin talking about sort of making, you know, sort of retribution to the families of those that are killed. But that even just seems so far down the road, because what we're talking about now are just really basic things like, where are these lists and how can we see them? And moreover, why will the president not answer us about why and how this happened in the first place, and why is Congress not acting?
Let me ask you, apart from what Rachel was just advocating for, is there talk in your organization of calling for an end to these strikes altogether?
No, at Human Rights Watch, we are not calling for an end to targeted killings, nor altogether. And we do not consider drones in and of themselves illegal. Drones have become a buzzword for the targeted killing program. Drones actually can strike in a quite a discriminatory fashion, and that's a good thing. They're precision strikes, unlike a strike we documented, one of the six we documented in Yemen, that involved cluster munitions, which are, by their very nature, indiscriminate. So we do not take that position, but we share Amnesty's concern, and we called jointly in a news conference today with Amnesty for the U.S. To come clean exactly who it's killing, how many of those it's killed it believes are civilians, and to show what it's doing to hold those responsible for unlawful attacks to account. The question of compensation is, it's not just a matter of good public relations for the United States to compensate the families of civilians unlawfully killed in these strikes. It's also a legal obligation. And so the U.S. and these families really have no recourse to redress to which they're entitled under international law, unless they know what exactly the U.S. government was up to when it killed their relatives. So the transparency issue ties into the U.S. legal obligations. The world has a right to know. The families of victims have a right to know.
We're talking to Letta Taylor with Human Rights Watch and Rachel O'Leary with Amnesty International. Their organizations released reports on U.S. strikes, drone strikes, and others in Yemen and Pakistan, respectively.
And what do you think about the use of U.S. drone strikes? Do you have concerns about human rights violations? What do you think we need these strikes for national security reasons? Should they stop? You can call us at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234, or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
This is Central Time on the Ideas Network. We continue our conversation about U.S. drone strikes in Pakistan and Yemen. We have Letta Taylor with Human Rights Watch, Rachel O'Leary with Amnesty International. Both groups issued reports on strikes today. We'll get to your calls in just a moment. But first of all, Rachel, I've seen reporting on the psychological impact of living in an area targeted by drone strikes. Is that something your report looked into?
It is, and we sort of talked about, we talked with survivors, and specifically with the case that we talked about earlier with the 68-year-old grandmother who was, you know, killed by a drone strike in front of her grandchildren. You know, the neighbors and the children who were around that, that that killing, you know, are terrified that they might be next. That's, you know, sort of the focus of our title of our survey is "Will I Be Next?" It's you know, sort of really looking into the idea of, you know, the type of fear and the type of terror that people live with when, you know, there are indiscriminate drone strikes happening in their neighborhoods and in their communities and villages.
And Letta, did you get a sense in this report of attitudes toward the United States after the strikes we're talking about?
Yes, very strong reactions by those directly affected or whose communities were directly affected. Many Yemenis told us that these strikes make them fear the U.S. as much as they fear al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula. Others said they had never had any animosity toward the United States before these strikes, but that now they do. And these attitudes play right into the hands of al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula. And in addition to the fear and the anger, many Yemenis are just simply feeling helpless by the drone strikes, particularly because of this wall of silence where the U.S. does not explain to the relatives of civilians killed why they ended up in the strike. Were they considered collateral damage that was acceptable under the cold calculus of the but legal calculus of the laws of war, or were they innocents killed accidentally? The U.S. is not saying. And so, as one relative told me, we Yemenis are the ones who pay the price of the war on terror. We are caught between a drone on one side and al-Qaeda on the other.
Mm-hmm. We'll go to our callers now. We have Joe on the line in Lansing. Hi, Joe.
Hi. When these kind of problems come up, I always think, what if Saudi Arabia wanted to have an air base in Iowa so they could control ethanol? Or Syria wanted to cut a deal with Canada so they could send drones and spy or attack Kansas, let's say. And I always think, I think our government needs to realize that they are fueling the fire with this attitude. And it concerns me that they act on such a short-term time frame and not really look at the larger picture of how we are perceived as a country.
Thanks, Joe, for the call. Letta, that lines up with what you were just saying about Yemeni opinion.
Yes. And I think the U.S. is setting a very dangerous precedent here. Not only does this stain the U.S. image very much in the way that Guantanamo did during the Bush administration and continues to under President Obama, but this sets up, this gives the green light to other countries to go into countries, and it might even be the U.S. at some point, to take out whomever they please in the name of countering terror, whether that is the justification or not. And drones technology is growing. It's not as if the U.S. is the only country that possesses attack drones, and I imagine that in the coming years, many other countries will have this technology.
Joe, thanks for the
question. And in fact, in May of this year, President Obama promised to increase transparency around drone strikes, but they have yet to do it. So it's, I don't think it's that, you know, they don't think it needs to happen. You know, it's that I think there's some sort of lack of urgency or, you know, whatever issues. But, you know, the fact is that the world needs to know how many people were killed about drone strikes and who they were and why they were targeted.
Thanks to Joe for the call. We'll go to Don now in Grant County. Don, hi.
Hi there.
What did you want to bring up?
I realize that we aren't at war with Yemen or Syria or anybody at this point, besides al-Qaeda. But if you would look, you were talking about the rules of war being followed before. Well, if we were back in World War II, and if we had the didn't have the technology that we do nowadays, there would be thousands of casualties that weren't meant to be casualties.
Gotcha. Thanks a lot, Don. Just a couple minutes. Rachel, there are civilian casualties, but things would be worse without the technology we have now.
Right. Amnesty's position is that not all drone strikes violate human rights or humanitarian law. We're not anti-drone. But the full picture will only come to light when U.S. authorities fully disclose the facts and circumstances and the legal basis for each of these drone strikes. So we're not, we're not at all anti-drone. We think that it's a tool that could be used effectively, but what we question is the way that this tool is being used right now.
Just briefly, the White House response so far has been, hey, we only do these attacks when we're really close to sure that civilians won't be injured in the limited response I've seen today. Letta, what do you make of their response so far to your report?
Well, that's certainly not what we saw in the cases we examined. So either the policy of near certainty of no civilian harm was not followed at the time of the strikes we examined, or somebody willfully disregarded it, or something went terribly wrong.
And Rachel, in just 30 seconds or so, for national security reasons, maybe we don't want the details you want out there. We don't want people to know how we know there are terrorists out there.
I think that it's always tough to balance national security with, sort of transparency. But at the end of the day, we're not safer with these types of strikes happening. We are, it's counterproductive to human rights. It's a human rights violations, and it's not making us any safer as a country. So I think that has to be included in the calculation.
Rachel, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
And Letta, thanks to you as well.
Thank you.
Letta Taylor, senior terrorism and counterterrorism researcher at Human Rights Watch, and Rachel O'Leary, deputy director of membership at Amnesty International.
Coming up, a world-renowned curator takes us behind the scenes in the art world. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network.